Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
901 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. And, of course, Rob sharing the updates. You guys with us at 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard here. And today, well, today should have been a really big day, a build-up day for the sport of Major League Baseball. It's tomorrow, of course, supposed to be opening day. We're going to play last year's opening day at 4 o'clock tomorrow in WIP to kind of get our fix. I know I'm going to need it. I know Major League Baseball and different platforms are throwing out a whole bunch of classic games tomorrow for people to watch. It's not going to be the same. Tomorrow is supposed to be opening day. We don't know when this is going to happen. But today, here's what we did get today. And we're going to bring on Corey Seidman, NBC Sports Philadelphia, in a second here to talk about all this stuff. Today, there was a whole bunch. Jeff Passan, ESPN, Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, and Jason Stark. I mean, everyone was kind of writing about, hey, baseball's trying to get together now and figure out what this could look like when it does return. And Scott Boras has an idea for the World Series on Christmas. Twice weekly doubleheaders. An All-Star Week start, kind of starting the season with the All-Star game. There's a lot of ideas being
floated. Who gets voted in then?
I think you would just have a vote. You probably would vote in like the most popular players. Like
Bryce Harper?
Yeah, I mean, if you did a fan vote right now, who would get in? Mike Trout, Bryce Harper. Like those guys that like have a random good year, who no one vote for them because you didn't know it was going to happen.
You'd have no Pat Neshek's or anything like that.
Well, that's a good thing. Let's bring on Corey Seidman, NBC Sports Philadelphia, joining us right now. What's up, Corey?
Not much, Joe. I think I was outside for 11 seconds today. So, you know, just another day. It's another day in quarantine.
Yeah, you know what's happened to me, Corey? And I think part of it is the rhythm of the sports calendar. Like, oh, the Sixers play Tuesday. Oh, you know, the Phillies have this spring training game this day. I just have no idea what day it is. Like, I know the weekend's the weekend because I'm not doing a show. But, like, I don't even know what day it is. Like, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's all the same right now.
Yeah, I totally hear you. I feel the same way. And, like, every article I've written recently, I've written the wrong day of the week. You know, if I'm saying, you know, this player said this on Monday or this guy said this on Tuesday, I feel like I always have the wrong day of the week. And that way, it feels like the dog days of the baseball season because, quite frankly, that's how it gets during an 162-game schedule for me as well.
Yeah, well, we're not having one of those this year. That's for certain. We don't know what the season will look like. Hopefully, it will be played. But, Corey, today there were a lot of ideas being thrown out by people that know people in baseball, whether it be Jeff Passan or Ken Rosenthal or Jason Stark, ideas for what this could look like. I'm going to throw a couple at you, and you tell me what you thought when you saw it or as I say it. What's your thought on – it seems like they want to play as many games as possible when we're allowed to make it a representative season. You know, if we start in July, we're looking at basically half a year. But today I saw Passan wrote that players are open to the idea of maybe up to once a week or twice a week having double headers. What do you think about that?
I think it's going to be a necessity because to me it feels like the magic number is like 120-ish games if you can get that many in the season. I don't think baseball would want any fewer than 100. And when you start to think about how deep you're going to get into the calendar, let's say, you know, even if you view it the most optimistically and say that the regular season could potentially start on June 1st, okay? To fit 120 games into a regular season, if it starts on June 1st, even if you had no off days, that would end in what, July 1st, August 1st? That would end October 1st, right? So then you're talking about the beginning of the playoffs. The playoffs take about, what, three and a half weeks, a month. So the very safest estimate would have that season ending in early November. So I just feel like you're going to have doubleheaders in some form. It would be irresponsible, I think, for baseball to have them 3-4 days a week, but once a week, hell yeah.
I would too. And Corey, the thing is, if the players are okay with it, then I'm on board. I would think they wouldn't be because of what it would do to them. But the one part about this, if we go down that route, if they're going to do multiple doubleheaders a week to make it a more representative season, they have to adjust the rosters. They have to help these teams, especially with pitchers. Like, already I'm projecting there's going to be more injuries because pitchers are going to try to ramp back up and it's going to be a whole thing. Like, the whole setup of the 26-man roster and the limits on pitchers, they'd have to ease that or change that.
Well, I think it's going to be an expanded roster when the season first begins, and it might be an expanded roster all the way through. You know, you could see rosters be at 28 guys, 30 guys instead of 26, because think about like the issues you just brought up, right? Starting pitchers are not going to be going deep into games, especially the first month or so of this regular season. Like, it's going to be quite a while until a team feels comfortable turning loose their ace to go seven innings, because you got to be thinking about the long term. I mean, there are some benefits to that as well, because, you know, the shortened season, I'm thinking of a guy like Aaron Nola, who's been at 212 innings, then 202 innings the last 2 years. Now, like, he has no choice but to have a lesser workload in 2020, so perhaps that helps him out long term. But I'm with you on the pitching injuries. It's a major concern, and that's why I don't think there should be doubleheaders multiple days a week, because then you get into relievers possibly appearing in both games of a doubleheader. You know, you just open up all these other cans of worms.
Corey Seidman, NBC Sports Philadelphia, joining us here as we discuss, you know, what's going on with all these talks in baseball, how they could put this season together whenever it starts. So, Corey, today Scott Boras, and I'm not surprised he would come up with a radical idea. He doesn't mind the idea of this thing lasting till next Christmas and having neutral site games for the playoffs. Corey, I am okay if they have to start the season without fans just so they could start the season. I'll watch and listen to baseball even if I can't go to baseball games. But the idea on the back end, if it lasts really long, already the thought is, well, we'll play in neutral sites where it's warmer. So like Philadelphia, New York, Boston, you really can't play baseball there in November, December, but you can in Miami and Arizona and whatnot. I feel like the postseason without the fans because of the weather and the date, that wouldn't feel right. I don't think baseball plays right in a neutral site. What do you think?
No, I don't. I wouldn't like that either. I mean, it would result in the winning team. The fans, like, no fan would have gotten to experience that clinching World Series game, which is, you know, that's a tough pill to swallow. I mean, I don't think this is going to last till Christmas. That's you know, a fun comment from Scott Boras, but I think there are other issues at play too. Like, Christmas is one of the biggest days of the year on the NBA calendar. There's still NFL regular season going on. That's late season. You know, baseball would really be competing for eyeballs if the World Series were to be right around that time. I don't think it's going to get that far. It's you know, you can't have an outdoor sport go that long when you have so many teams in cold weather cities. Like, baseball, it's not like football. It's not designed to be played in 30-degree weather. We see that in April every year when, you know, you have guys wearing long sleeves and pitchers can't grip the ball in those early season games.
Well, you're right, and that makes a big difference, and it changes the way the game is played. Corey, I was under the assumption, and I think I'm wrong on this, because I was reading, it may have been Jason Stark today and his piece of The Athletic. I was under the assumption that whenever they got some sort of green light, that they would try to redo the schedule to make it, you know, more fair, because, I mean, you think about it, who knows when you play who? I mean, at the end of the day, you're playing your division teams the same, and that's kind of the balance to it, and you'll play some interleague games. But there is some sort of balance to the imbalance of the schedule. But if you pick the schedule up, let's just say July 1st, I mean, the Phillies might have, and I don't have their schedule in front of me, they might have 11 or 12 of their Marlins games early, and then 12 of their Braves games late. Like, it kind of works out that way. But Jason Stark today basically wrote that's too hard with all of these cities and hotels and like the Democratic National Convention in August, that they probably just have to pick it up from whenever they start. I understand the logic, but that's going to create an imbalance just based on the randomness of the schedule.
It is, and I think that despite how difficult it would be to you know, recalibrate the schedule for all 30 teams, if there's a situation like that, MLB has to step in. Because, for example, I'm pretty sure that the Phillies, if the 2020 season were to have started on time, I'm pretty sure that they weren't set to face the Nationals for the first 2 months. I'm pretty sure they weren't going to see the Nationals until the last week of May. So that's an example of, say you have all 19 of your games against a team after June 1st. Now, that's a rare example, but it could happen. You could have 16 games against the Braves or 16 games against a really good team in your division, and that really could drastically change the course of your season. You know, I don't have a schedule in front of me either, but for example, if the Braves had the Marlins 16 times after June 1st and the Phillies had the Nationals 16 times after June 1st, I mean, what more needs to be said about that? I think that that would be the next step, though, because the first step is just figuring out when the season's going to begin, what the league is going to do with service time, because that's a major consideration in all of this as well. You know, service time, if you're going to get a 4-year of service time, that means that guys like JT Realmuto and Mookie Betts, two big free agents, they're going to be able to contribute less to their current teams than they will to their future teams. So, you know, that's another big factor in all this.
Yeah, let's jump to a couple of Phillies things. I wanted to go to the JT thing. So I saw today that there was a feeling that they would be credited for service time. So like guys like JT and Mookie, like you said, no matter how this year goes, they'll hit free agency next year. And, Corey, I don't know if contract talks are totally frozen, if they're really just going to put it all on hold because of what's going on, and we'll kind of – JT and the Phillies will talk again whenever they get back together and they could play some baseball. But the way I look at it, Corey, is the longer this goes, if I'm JT, the less likely I am to sign. Like, part of the reason I would sign now if I was him is, you know, I'm a catcher. I have to play a full season. What if I get hurt? But, like, if they don't come back till July, I think there's got to be a school of thought. I have 3 months until I'm a free agent, and everyone could bid on me. I don't think this whole delay helps the Phillies there. In fact, I think it could hurt him because he might just say, I'll just wait.
Yeah, that's very sound thinking. You know, if JT Realmuto gets to mid-July, and like you said, it's a difference of what, like 2.5 months, 3 months, 4 months before you reach free agency where everybody can bid on your services. I mean, Realmuto is going to be one of the top free agents on the market next offseason, right after Mookie Betts, because of, you know, the overall value you have in such a good offensive, defensive catcher. The Phillies kind of said that everything in their world, including the JT Realmuto contract talks, were stalled. That was the comment, I believe, was from Matt Klentak last week. However, that doesn't mean that's 100% true for this entire period. Like, there's going to be a lot of sitting around right now for the next 2 months. This affects you and I the same way it affects Matt Klentak and John Middleton. Everybody just has to kind of sit around and hang out in their house. And I would think that what you just said is something that has already been thought about by the Phillies front office, and that they will really try to finish off that negotiation and that extension, you know, before this regular season begins, because it would just be such a disaster if they lose JT Realmuto to free agency and he signs elsewhere after giving up what they had to give up to get him. Because even if the circumstances are out of their control, they have to bring this guy back. And I know that's why you've been saying for months, you know, and I've been saying for months that JT has all the leverage and that the Phillies are probably going to have to overpay to even get him back.
Yeah, it's true. And that's not going to change, you know, now or 2 months from now. That he has the leverage. Corey, I've been saying for the past couple of nights, I want to know if you agree or maybe you think differently on this, that the longer this goes on, I think it helps the Phillies and their chances to compete in the NL East. I saw Fangraphs had a thing earlier this week where the less, you know, the shorter the season, the more the opportunity for variance. Like if it's an 81 game season, like you look at the standings at the All-Star break every year and it's kind of like, oh, that team's 3 out, then they finish 12 out. The shorter the season, I think the Phillies have an advantage there. Spencer Howard could participate in maybe all of the season. What do you think on that? I feel like the longer this goes, the better it is for the Phillies in a weird way.
Well, I don't know, because if you look at like the context of other teams as well, like the Braves are going to be better off for the fact that they'll have Cole Hamels theoretically for all of the season as opposed to him missing 2 months. And Freddie Freeman had a balky elbow late last season and in spring training. By the time 2020 season begins, he should probably be closer to full health. So, you know, it's going to affect other teams positively as well. It's absolutely true that the shorter the season, the more room for variance. I would also point out that, like, think about the first half last year for Harper and Realmuto. They had okay first halves last year, but I don't think anybody was screaming that, like, you know, they had really exceeded or even lived up to offensive expectations. They both had those strong second halves. A shorter season also means that if what if the slump lasts, the first half's relative cold spell lasts as long as it did last season, but the second half isn't long enough for you to get back to your career levels. Like that's also, you know, one of the possibilities of a shortened season.
It is, yeah. It would make – something wacky would happen. I don't know if it'd be the Phillies, but you could just see something wacky with a player or a team in the standings. Last one for you, Corey. So tomorrow, because we don't have any opening day to play, which is sad, we're going to play last year's opening day on WIP at 4 o'clock tomorrow. We're going to play the 2019 opener. I just want your memories of that day and covering it and talking about it, because – I was there. I went to the game before I came back here, and it felt like baseball was alive again in Philadelphia. McCutchen with the home run, the leadoff home run. The crowd was as electric. And opening days are always fun, and there's always it's always packed. But like it felt electric. What do you remember about last year and the first game of the season?
So I remember that last year, we at NBC Sports Philadelphia had just unveiled our new studio, which, you know, they spent a ton of money on that redesigned studio. And so our first pregame show, I was in the studio, but I wanted to be over there, obviously, as soon as possible. So as soon as we hit our last commercial break, I kind of raced across to Citizens Bank Park, which is right near us. And I was kind of running through the concourse to get up to the press box. And as I'm running through the concourse, McCutchen hit that leadoff home run in the bottom of the first. And so obviously all I can hear is the crowd going crazy. I don't know why it's happening. And then, you know, when I get up there, I find out why. But it kind of in some ways, that opening day reminded me of opening day back in 2010 when the Phillies first got Roy Halladay. I think that opening day was in Washington. The Phillies rolled them. I think it was 11-1. Placido Polanco hit a grand slam. It was an opening day where you saw everything that they had put together throughout the offseason like came together on that first day. And you're thinking, wow, this team could be really, really, really good. And that Phillies offense last year, the first week of the season, between McCutchen and Segura and Hoskins and Harper, like everything was clicking. That Phillies offense looked like a potential juggernaut early last season. And then, you know, things went south from there. But that would be my biggest memory of last year opening day. There was just a ton of excitement. It felt like an entirely new team, and like a page had finally been turned. It didn't result in a playoff berth, but, you know, there were other factors in that. There was – you know, the late season collapse, that you can pin some of that on the coaching staff, the manager, the philosophies offensively and pitching-wise, and the pitching falling apart. But, you know, all that excitement that was felt the first week of 2019, I was expecting that to be the same way this season, because the Phillies had those fan-favorite guys back, plus they had added two new really interesting good pieces in Wheeler and Didi Gregorius. So there was set to be all that excitement again tomorrow, but instead we'll kind of just be sitting around in our houses.
We will. And here we'll listen to last year's and kind of reminisce. Corey, I appreciate you hopping on. Enjoy the nap as long as it continues, and hopefully soon we'll have something good to talk about. I appreciate it, Corey.
Thanks, Joe.
There he goes. Corey Simon, NBC Sports Philadelphia, and the Phillies Talk podcast on that platform. Yeah, he's right about last year. Like, there was just a buzz. Like, you felt it. If you were there, you felt it last year. And of all the reasons I'm excited to listen to last year's opening day tomorrow at 4 o'clock on WIP, it's that. Like, I want to feel that again. Let's go to the phone lines. Rick is in Garnet Valley. Hey, Rick.
How you doing?
Good, Rick. What's going on, buddy?
Just getting off work. So it was good listening to Corey there. I remember Joe Torre's first interview since when he got hired. He said that they needed shorter games because he didn't like the 162. So this might help them a lot.
Yeah, I think it will. You know, Corey brought up some good points that other guys in the division like Cole Hamels will be healthy for the full season for the Braves. So it's not just the Phillies that have some benefits. But, like, I think their team is more set up for a 100-game or 80-game sprint rather than 162. I think it'll cover them a little bit. I think they're in better shape with a shorter season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Also, I want to do a quick Eagles point. I think they need to fortify their offensive line more than anything else. And I know a lot of people are talking about their defense and the wide receiver and stuff like that, but if you can keep Carson healthy, you know, it'd be like Roethlisberger or McNabb. You have these big quarterbacks, but they're always getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And is there players in the draft that are we looking at that could help us?
Well, they should.
Because I know we dropped off.
Right. You know, Rick, it's a fair point. I mean, and they should. And I think they'll draft someone, you know, maybe in the mid rounds. But they lost Vitae and they lost Peters. Like, their depth on the offensive line, which was, well, you think about their depth last year, even when they had injuries, they were able to put a Vitae in or put a Dillard in because those guys were their backups. And now Dillard's the starter. And really, if someone goes down, and we know Brooks got hurt at the end of the season again, if someone goes down, like we're talking about Matt Pryor, we're talking about Jordan Mailata, guys that really haven't played much that would have to play, and the group is a little older now. Like, I know Dillard's is young, but Brooks is 30, Lane's in his 30s, Kelsey's getting up there. It's not a young group anymore. I'm with you. They need depth there.
Right, yeah, and weren't we, the second oldest team in the league last year?
Yeah, offensive line depth, it's crucial, and I think they'll address it. Rick, you have a suggestion on which superhero I should show my kid first?
I do. Spider-Man would be great with but since he's only 5 years old, I would do like Lego Batman first.
Oh, there's, the Lego one. That's a good idea.
Yes. There's Big Hero 6 from Disney. That was a couple years ago. That's a good one. And then get into like Ant-Man would probably be the best to start with the live action.
There we
and
go.
Go from there.
All right.
And if he likes those, you know, I just set the kids up. We watched the first Captain America last night. My youngest is 8. She loved it. But you just got to see, you know, how much violence they can take.
Yeah, you got to. Each kid's different, but you got to kind of know when they're ready. It's funny because he's only 5, but he has all like the toys and the pajamas. So he started asking me like when we could watch because he sees them when we scroll through Disney Plus. And I'm like, you know, we'll do it soon. So I'm trying to figure out like your ideas are good. Like kind of ease him into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been doing that for all my kids ever since they were little. You know, I would take them right to the movie theater. We'd see it, you know, that first weekend. You know, you just got to see if they're closing their eyes.
Right, right, yeah.
And you just got to take the next one and, you know, go from there.
But, yeah,
no. It's fun to teach them, you know, stuff like that.
No, it is. Rick, appreciate the call, and I appreciate the suggestions. Yeah, I'm actually more excited, Tucker, that my son is into superheroes than he is sports.
Yeah, I mean, you don't go to the movies a lot, right?
No, we don't. But it's the other thing, like, I don't need an excuse to watch sports. Like, if my kids love sports, that's great. I mean, it's something that I can enjoy with them. But I'm going to watch anyway. Like, that's what I do.
It's already a part of your life.
Yeah, but if they don't love superheroes, I'm probably not going to go to the new releases of all the new superhero movies for the next 15 years. Like, why would I go? I'm a grown-up.
Did you go before you had kids?
I did, but I was younger. I feel like now, like, I'm in my early 30s. Like, am I going to be in my early 40s and just go by myself to a superhero movie? Probably not.
I love going to the movies by myself.
Yeah, but a superhero movie, like as I get closer to 40, probably
not maybe gonna, not like a midnight release. That'd be kind of odd.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. But if they want to go and they're 10 and 8, well, then I got to take them.
Of course.
And I'm into it. And
you got to wear your cape?
Exactly. The next series of Batman or whatever, I'm in. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. Yes. Twice weekly doubleheaders. The season starting in mid-July. Baseball threw out a whole bunch of ideas today, including Scott Boras wanting the whole thing on Christmas. So we'll come back, your phone calls, and then we got to play Shane Victorino for you. He was on ESPN's Baseball Tonight podcast. A lot of great Phillies memories he talked about. We'll play those. Your phone calls. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.